Imagine a town, a creepy town, where it's nothing but fog and ash, and in some cases, monsters. Hey, this is Shindo Gao here with her first podcast. Today, I'm talking about Silent Hill, one of my favorite games growing up. It was actually one of the very first horror games that got me started in playing survival horror games. Silent Hill was created back in 1998 by Konami, by the original Team Silent, accompanied by the music you're hearing in the background by Akira Yamaoka. Silent Hill is one of those games you can't just point and shoot. You can't just hide. You can't just run. You have to think quick on your feet. Silent Hill finds many ways of scaring you, either through the pure silence, the monsters, or even the characters that are used throughout the gameplay. There are maybe four main protagonists that I have played as from the original Team Silent. That is Harry Mason of Silent Hill 1, James Sunderland of Silent Hill 2, Heather Mason of Silent Hill 3, and Henry Townsend of Silent Hill 4. Three of the games take place in the town of Silent Hill. The fourth one kind of does, but then it doesn't. I'll get to that in a bit. Silent Hill is one of those towns. If you ever watch the brochures or play the little supplemental stuff that they hang around the games, the game itself shows that it's supposed to be this great, peaceful resort town, but we all know deep down inside it isn't. Take, for example, the first Silent Hill game. Harry Mason, the protagonist, actually went there at first to be with his wife and have a vacation. The reason why they went on this vacation is because they couldn't have any children. Lo and behold, while on their way to Silent Hill, they pick up a little baby, and that is Alessa, one of the protagonists, secondary character of the game. It was supposed to be a peaceful town. However, the town called him back one day after his wife died. After his daughter had repeated visions of Silent Hill. Maybe that story's a little muddled because of the video game, the movie, but I believe they did go back to Silent Hill to bring back good memories. Or better yet, take the character James Sunderland. When he was with his wife Mary, they went there on a vacation before Mary got real sick. But the town called him back because he had a letter that was that said Mary on it. I'm not going to go into the details just yet, but I just want to go on the aspect and history of the town. Silent Hill is a colony community. It was created during the first colonists. It was an Indian burial ground that the Indians were, I think, murdered or at least knocked off of their land, and people built towns around it. Let's fast forward to around the Civil War area during the 1800s. The hospitals were first made there, and they were also making prisons there to keep prisoners under wraps. The prison was called Toluca Prison, which was surrounded by Toluca Lake. The town itself had a hospital and a few people. The hospital itself would keep all the sick and dying there, and they would try to help people get well. There became so many sick from living in the town itself that they created Toluca Hospital. And from there, the town just expanded over time. However, not all of the citizens of Silent Hill are living the peaceful lives. The town itself, with the Indian burial ground tradition, and other things, the cult of Samaya, the cult that stays there, and all the other things. The town itself must have a living spirit or demon from the Indian burial ground or Satan himself living there, because the town is attracted by certain people, certain individuals who have committed a sin. If you play through Silent Hill 2 and Silent Hill 4, you know the town's attracted by people who create a sin. James Sunderland had killed his wife and went to the town of Silent Hill under the delusion that Mary was there. However, he said she died 3 months ago. In Silent Hill 4, I believe, I guess that's not a good subject. I guess Silent Hill 2 would be the best way to describe where people's sins come in. There are other characters besides James in the game. There's Angela, who killed her father because he raped her, and her mother didn't believe her and ran to Silent Hill to hide, but really the town made her face her sins. Then there's Eddie Dombrowski, who shot a man in his knee and killed his dog and ran away, and he went into a psychotic break because he felt like everyone was laughing at him, which could have resulted from the pressure of being made fun of. Either way, they had to face their sins and die there. Well, Eddie died because James had to defend himself, and Angela died because she just wanted to die. She was depressed. Either way, that town is very creepy. Also in the town is, as I mentioned before, was the cult. This is first referenced in Silent Hill 1 when Harry is trying to find his daughter, Alessa. I mean, not Alessa. Her name was Cheryl at the time. Cheryl Mason. Cheryl had, if you remember the beginning of the game, Harry had been driving with his daughter when a figure, which we find out later is Alessa, causes his car to swerve and crash. When he wakes up, he can't find his daughter, so he runs around town trying to find his daughter. The only other people he can find so far before he, you know, when he just wakes up, are the police officer, Sybil, and the woman, Dahlia Gillespie. While running around town, he finds other individuals such as Lisa and Dr. Kaufman. What he doesn't know is the people who he can see in these delusions are allowed to by Alessa. While he's walking around, he finds out the cult of the town was the people that control them. Dr. Kaufman, a member of the cult, created White Claudia, a device known to control people to stay into the cult, such as Lisa, who was forced to take care of Alessa. I'll get into Alessa in a moment. Dahlia is the leader of that branch of the cult. You find out in Silent Hill 4 there are many branches of the cult. Actually, Silent Hill 3 as well. Dahlia, as the head of the cult, would do anything to bring back the god Samael to the town, including sacrificing her little girl. This is where Alessa comes in. Alessa Gillespie was a young girl with psychic powers. Or at least I think that's what she did. Her birth was really weird, so no one knows who Alessa's father really is. It's suspected it's Dr. Kaufman, but maybe it's more supernatural things of mine because of her psychic powers. Her mother wanted her to use the psychic powers to bring the god to life. However, she didn't want to. She just wanted to have her mom. Alessa, who was 14 years old, was burned in her mother's home nearly to death to bring pain and suffering so she can bring the god into the world. Now, this is where Lisa comes in. Dr. Kaufman treated Alessa, but then charged Lisa to take care of Alessa by healing her, keep wrapping her wounds, which, if you watch one of the videos that she had recorded, she said the wound she had would never heal. It was filled with pus and disgusting things, and it drove her crazy, but she had no choice but to keep taking care of Alessa so she can keep getting White Claudia. So as a drug addict, she had to keep taking care of her. Alessa decided while she was suffering to split her body in half. I'll get more into the details of how she was split herself in half, but anyway, and she put, and somehow the baby Alessa, and I'm thinking that maybe it was Lisa, at the time I'm thinking maybe it's Lisa that pulled the baby out when she split herself in two and put her on the road before she was murdered, probably by the cult, because Lisa's dead, I think. It's kind of hard to explain. Well, I'll get into details in a minute. But that's how baby Alessa came to be. So with those cult members in mind, let me go back to Lisa as the drug addict. She cared for Alessa even though she was on drugs, and she wanted the poor child to die not because of hate, but because this child was suffering. So Alessa felt comfort. So when the baby Alessa was born, that's why I think that Lisa was killed. She ran with the baby and basically left the baby on the road for someone to find before she was murdered. But, you know, it was retconned from Silent Hill Origins. I'll get into that later. The cult itself was very demanding in trying to get more members. Now let me get into Silent Hill 3 and 4. And Silent Hill 3 were introduced into another members of a different branch of the cult, led Claudia Wolf. Claudia Wolf was another member of a different branch of the cult. She believes in bringing back God because she'll get her friend Alessa back. I mean, I believe that's my interpretation of her psychotic delusion. By bringing back the god of town, which is Samael, she won't or whatever god she was basically worshiping at the time, she believed that her friend Alessa would come back because that's who she greatly missed. Both of them seemed to be in some type of, how should I put it, abusive relationships with their parents, with Dahlia burning her daughter to death and with Leonard being a little crazy as he was. Christabel took over the cult after Dahlia died, or maybe a certain branch of it. And she basically told her people to go and find Heather, who is now Alessa, who is now Heather. She basically made her friend, well, the shell of a friend, suffer in order for her to bring about the god of the town. Now, of course, this failed, especially with the help of not so much Leonard, but Vincent, a priest who doesn't believe in the god of the town, but basically screwing with everybody to get money. Because of this, Heather, because of these members of the town, we find out that the cult itself is still not dead. Let's fast forward to Silent Hill 4. The main antagonist Silent Hill 4 is Walter Sullivan, who was mentioned in Silent Hill 2 of killing two people and chopping up their bodies in little pieces with an axe. He was part of another sect. I believe it might have been the Battelle sect of the cult. And he believed that if he killed 21 people, which is a ritual of 21 sacraments, then he would be reunited with his mother, who he thinks is the room itself. He was a little crazy. I mean, I would blame some of this on Dahlia. The cult of the town basically controls not only the town, but some of the townsfolk too. If you, in Silent Hill 4, you find out that, and I'm going by the information I had from the first four games, which was created by original Team Silent. I'll get to the other developed games in a minute, but I want to just talk about the original information from Silent Hill 1 to 4. Basically, the cult was creating children as well. They had a Silent Hill orphanage, which was raising the children into believing what the cult was teaching them. Walter Sullivan was one of the most prominent members of, prominent believers, which made him a psycho after a while. You know, he used 21 sacraments to kill everyone in order to bring back his mother, which was the room itself. So the town had a big influence. They also kept children in the old Toluca Lake prison, torturing them, killing some of them, dropping them into holes, murdering them, and basically messing with their minds to the point that the cult cannot die. If you play Silent Hill 3, Harry, who was the protagonist of Silent Hill 1, was on the run with his baby daughter, Heather Mason, at the end of Silent Hill 1. And by Silent Hill 3, they used a detective as well as members of the cult to track down Harry, capture Alessa, and kill Harry for taking their godlike daughter away. And what I mean by godlike daughter, if you play Silent Hill 3, there's a picture of Heather. Well, Alessa. Heather's her new form, but Alessa, how she's supposed to look as a mother god figure. Now, going with the cult in mind and talking about the town, let's get into the characters themselves. And what, not so much what they represent, but the characters that made the game even enhance the gameplay and the environment and world of Silent Hill possible. Now, mind you, I'm just talking about games 1 to 4. Harry Mason was a innocent character. He's a protagonist. He basically got caught in something that had nothing to do with him. He picked up baby Alessa, who he called Cheryl. That's Alessa's good half or innocent half, and raised her. She was brought back to the town because of the calling she was receiving from Alessa. He's a very innocent character. He's trying to find his daughter. He's confused about what's going on. He wants to know, he has a strong father-daughter relationship, and he doesn't want to see anything happen to this girl. In Silent Hill 1, there's Dahlia, the cruel mother, and I call her cruel because you shouldn't set your daughter on fire. The cruel mother of Alessa and the leader of the Order. She set her daughter on fire in order to bring back a god of the world. In the first game, she's very cryptic. Like, something's off about her, but you're not sure what it is. she just, you know, slinks in, says a little tidbit information, slinks out, you know, and tries to manipulate Harry's feelings into doing anything she wants him to do in order to find Alessa. So, I mean, at the end, she does die of her own penance for hurting her child. But she's also mentioned in other games. Her connection to the game series is very deeper than what people think it is. She was connected to, as I mentioned before, Silent Hill 4 with Walter Sullivan, using the room in Silent Hill 4 in order to connect him with his mother, and made him believe in the God more, thinking that doing rituals and sacraments would be the only way to bring his mom back and find out why he was abandoned. Dr. Kaufman didn't have as bigger role as you think he would, because he was just there to, you know, be another antagonist. He might have helped in the creation of Alessa, which is kind of gross. He created the drug like Claudia, and he also kept a nurse drugged in order to make sure that Alessa would be kept alive in order to bring back the God of the Lamb. Now, Kaufman is what we call, what people call, false believer. He only created the drug and the God of, in order to get money. When he found out that Dahlia was screwing with him, he turned on her. He created Apogotus, which would be used to destroy the God of the town. He used his various research. Of course, he was killed before he could bring things into fruition, but that's his role in how he supplemented the story. He gave a way out for Harry to kill the God of the town and get Cheryl back. Lisa, I found, was in Silent Hill 1, was a tragic character. She didn't deserve what happened to her, you know, being murdered. Even though she was a drug addict, you know, she tried her best to face Alessa and treat her comfortably with all the pain she had. And her being murdered was a significant sadness to Alessa, because she felt truly alone. She had no one else to talk to. She had no one else to be with her. So I believe that's when she got angry and started doing stuff to the town. All the other characters from 1, there were just mentioned characters that were basically investigating the cult and were murdered. In Silent Hill 2, we get Jason Sunderland, a character who, his motivations in the beginning are unclear. He gets a letter from his dead wife telling him that she's waiting for him in the town of Silent Hill. And he goes to the town trying to find his wife and meets other characters. He meets a little girl named Laura, Eddie, Angela. And while he's running through the town, he find out his psyche isn't, as a protagonist, he can also be called an antagonist, because he is his own worst enemy. And the town shows that to you. What I mean is, James feels guilt over his wife's death. His wife, which is another character, Mary, and then there's Maria. I'll get to those in a bit. Mary was very sick. And, you know, we thought at the beginning maybe he's grieving his wife's death. That's why he's walking around Silent Hill in this creepy behind town. With over time, you find out that maybe something is wrong with James. We first start out by the letter that we get in the beginning of the game. If you read the letter in the beginning of the game, first it just says that, James, I'm here waiting for you. As the game progresses, the letter gets bigger and a little bigger. And then the letter goes blank when you get to the hotel. When you talk to Laura, Laura says she turned 8 last week after she gives you a letter talking about Laura to be nice to James. And you're thinking about, like, wait a minute. She turned 8 last week, but you said she died 3 months ago. So you called her a liar. And that's when you think something's not right here. So he reads the letter. He goes upstairs. When he finally finds the tape, he sits there and looks at the tape, and then he realizes his own sin, which is he killed his wife 3 days ago. He asphyxiated her to put her out of her misery because he was tired of her being in pain and the tired of the way she was treating him. So when he kills her, he goes to Silent Hill, and you find out, you know, through, there's 4 endings. You find out her body is in the trunk of the car. I'm not kidding. If you play one of the endings, every ending you get, you end up talking to Mary at some point. He apologizes for killing her, but she forgives him. One ending, he leaves with Laura. I don't think that's the ending, and I'll tell you why in a minute. The second ending, he commits suicide by taking her body, putting it in the trunk of the car, driving off into Toluca Lake, and drowns himself. Another ending is he leaves with Maria, the spirit or reincarnated form created by the town. She gets sick. And four is a UFO ending. The UFO one is a joke, of course. I think the body was in the trunk of the car because the way he's talking to her, you know, or maybe he wasn't really talking to her. It was all in his head trying to, you know, come to terms with the fact that his wife is dead. Either way, James isn't as sympathetic as, you know, you first find out in the beginning of the game. Eddie Dombrowski, I already talked about. He's a psycho, basically. He snapped under pressure of the fact that he was fat and made fun of, and he basically just snapped and shot someone, and James had to kill him. The only real sympathetic character in this is Angela. And that's because she was the victim of a rape, and her depression got so bad that she ran away and ultimately decided to accept her fate in Silent Hill and die instead of, you know, someone like James trying to tell her, no, this isn't the right way to go. You need to leave the town. You need to come to terms with what happened. You know, it wasn't your fault or whatever. No, James just lets her die. Yeah, not as sympathetic as we think he is. Laura, at first glance, she's a brat, but then you feel sorry for her because she really almost had a home and someone to take care of her. And she went to Silent Hill trying to find Mary, too. And you feel sorry for her because ultimately at the end, James dies, and I'm going to tell you why. There are two hints in the next two games, 3 and 4, hint that James dies. When Douglas in 3 talks about James and Mary, he was sent to find them before he was sent to find Heather. He didn't find them, so kind of figured out he in water ending is probably the drowning suicide ending is probably the one that where he died. And in Silent Hill 4, the tenant, the landlord is of the apartment building is the father of James, and he mentions that his son is gone. All right, so let's get into Silent Hill 3. Heather is Mason is the reincarnated form of Cheryl and Alyssa together. She's spunky. She's one of those spunky teenagers who's put in a situation that no teenager could handle, but, you know, with her lost memories and her body, you know, going through the motions again of what happened when she was Alyssa, she got adapted. I mean, there's only so much adaptation you can do. She went to Silent Hill on the revenge plot of going after Claudia for what she did to her father. But it became deeper than that when she found out that they were just, you know, using the pain of that as a plot to bring back the god of the town. And she basically fought back against it and decided not to be conventional. And she ended up winning in the end. But we don't know what the true ending is. We don't know if she became a murderer and killed Douglas. We don't know if she became Alyssa. We don't know. It's kind of like other many Silent Hill games from the original Team Silent. A lot of the endings are kind of left ambiguous. The only ones, they have a weird connection too. Silent Hill 1 and 3 are connected, and Silent 2 and 4 are connected. But 2 and 4 are loosely connected, where 1 and 3, they're connected. But we don't know what happened to Alyssa at the end of Heather at the end of 3. Douglas Monroe is just a detective who's trying to do his job. When you find out he was screwed over, he helps Alyssa so we can find out why he killed her father, why they killed Terry, why they're doing all this. That was Douglas' job. And Douglas is, I think detectives are cops, so, you know, you have to do a thorough investigation. We don't know what happens at the end of Douglas' story. We know that he gets stabbed, but we don't know if Heather kills him, if he walks away. We don't know. Then there's Vincent, who is a false, like I said before, is a false priest, a false believer who's just trying to get money. And when he found out what Claudia was going to do, he tried to stop her and get murdered. Leonard's a psychotic father of Claudia, who probably made her mind a little warped. And that's basically what I can say about him. Silent Hill 4, the main character is Harry Townsend. Of all the characters in Silent Hill, he is the quietest character I've ever played. I mean, they're all kind of quiet, but he doesn't have an opinion on a lot of things, except that he's a little, you know, feeling some type of way about the fact that he can't get out of his apartment. and I believe it's because there's a curse on there from Walter Sullivan. Henry, his name is Henry, not Harry, sorry. Henry Townsend basically is just a writer who got caught in a bad situation, you know, it's just wrong place, wrong time. Harry's the protagonist who's a writer. He might have been a photographer, we don't know. He got caught in room, I believe it's 302. That's right, room 302. In room 302, he was cursed, like the person before him, Joseph, was. The curse is that you get stuck in a room, all the ghosts come in, you basically die of a heart attack, and Walter takes your soul to be one of the 21 sacraments. However, Henry's story is that besides he can't get out of 302, he can kind of see the peephole, but no one can see him. He also gets slips of paper under the door from Walter Sullivan, but also from Joseph Schreiber, the person who lived in the apartment before him and died. His story is to go through each world and find out, you know, what's going on. Like one of them, he goes through the other world of his own apartment to find out about the 21 sacraments and one of his neighbors, who's a bit of a nut. I'll get into his neighbor in a minute. And he finds out about his other neighbor, the attractive one that lives next door. He's trying to piece together what's going on. That's his role in the story as a protagonist. He defends himself by using ritualistic candles, coins to defend himself, meets characters, and tries to piece together Walter's childhood and his past and find out why he has been picked to die. So Henry basically, we don't know what happens to him at the end, but every character he meets except for Eileen dies in some horrible way, because even though he might solve a mystery of why they're there or why he has to help them, they end up dying because of Walter's hand. Walter, I will get to him soon. Henry basically does anything he can to unlock the mystery of the 21 sacraments, either through reading letters from Joseph Schreiber, symbols, characters, but his ending is ambiguous. Henry is also shy, so we don't know whether he lives, we don't know if Henry dies. Like in one ending, 21 sacraments ending, he is killed, but for the most part, we don't know what happened to him. But when it comes to Silent Hill, I usually expect the worst ending if it's less ambiguous, because there are no happy endings really in Silent Hill unless you come to terms with either what you did, what you have done, what you will do, or, you know, unsolve some type of mystery. The second character I'm going to talk about is Walter Sullivan, who I said was a psychotic person who was a member of the cult and chopped some people up with an axe, and he used 21 sacraments. He also used himself as part of the 21 sacraments to kill himself to come back as a spirit as well as a body. I'm trying not to laugh, but this is weird. He took his own corpse, put it in the wall of room 302 so he can manifest his own parts of his own spirit, so, you know, whoever lives in there gets cursed and dies, just like Joseph, who I'm getting ready to talk about, did. Joseph basically was a journalist who was investigating the Silent Hill cult and everything, and he was unfortunate to live in 302 because he died as one of the members of the 21 Sacraments. He just is the giver of wisdom. He's supposed to give he's supposed to give information to Henry and Eileen in order to find out about the 21 sacraments. He actually is somewhat of a help, and he's the only ghost that doesn't try to kill Henry. Another character is Eileen, who is his roommate. She was the first character who basically was a friend, a good friend to Harry. A good friend to Walter when he was a child, when he was an adult and he was still around. He gave Eileen a doll. Eileen gave him a doll, and, you know, he kind of became a little obsessive with her to the point where he beat her up in order for her to become part of the 21 Sacraments. Unfortunately for him, Henry saved her and brought her, you know, and kept her alive this entire time. However, her ending is also ambiguous because we don't know if Eileen dies or not. We don't know. Another character would be Cynthia, another female protagonist. I mean, not protagonist, just a character you meet in the game. She's stuck inside of the subway. Her reason for being there is because Walter remembers her teasing her with her friends, and he keeps her trapped there so he can kill her and use her as one of the 21 sacraments. I believe she is either vanity or lust or something, but she dies. Jesper Gein is a person who is a study of Satanism, and he worships the devil, and he's into the occult, like really deep into it. He allows Walter to burn him to death, and he comes back as a ghost and tries to kill you. So does Cynthia. Andrew DeSalvo was a person who worked inside the prison, and he was part of the he worked for the orphanage, the cult, to keep the kids tortured and alive. And he watched them all the time. He basically messed with them a lot. He gets killed by drowning by Walter, adult Walter, not kid Walter, and he comes back as a ghost. He comes back as an annoying ghost. Then there's Richard Braintree, another character in the game. There's a lot of characters in the game. Most of them, some of them are really minor, like Richard. He was a crazy neighbor who beat up this person, nearly skinned him alive, basically yelled at people. He was just, and then he yelled at young Walter. Old Walter came, killed him, and he became a ghost. But he, unlike most of the other characters, has some knowledge of what the other world is, but not a whole lot. He just knows creepy stuff happens. Throughout the game, also, Eileen gets possessed by child Walter, and she feels like she has to do something for him to help him. This is how far I'm going to go right now for the first podcast, because it's already been 30 minutes. Tune in tomorrow, and I'm going to talk about the other games that are not made by Team Silent that I have played as part of my little nostalgic piece. And I hope to see you guys tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Be sure to listen same time, same place on the iTunes channel.